This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome to Golf Talk Canada, an all-open championship edition of GTC. Mark Sacchino live at Muskoka Bay Club here, just north of Toronto. Absolutely gorgeous morning. Enjoyed by my co-host, Mr. Bob Weeks, all the way on the other side of the pond, probably many Guinness deep by now. Mr. Bob Weeks at Royal Birkdale. Bob, two questions for you. Have you had your first pint today? And what were you doing in Henrik Stenson's house yesterday?
No, and I was just cleaning up afterwards.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to talk all British Open today, or Open Championship, as we really get set for the third round. Obviously, third round action is on their way right now on TSN if you're looking for the television broadcast. But leaders will go off much later today in late morning and then into the early afternoon. Bob, before we get the news and headlines, and later on in the show, we're going to be joined by Adam Scully for some Scully time, get his thoughts on the Open Championship. Also, TJ Alderdice, the golf director here at Muskoka Bay, he's going to jump in with us here and talk a little Open Championship. But before we get to all that, just your opening thoughts on this tournament, how you feel about it so far, maybe the biggest surprise, and I guess Jordan Spieth on top of this leaderboard. And I got to tell you right now, Bob, I don't believe that the winner of this championship is in the final two groups. I believe that there's going to be someone from behind that's going to make a charge today that's going to eventually win this tomorrow. I don't think, from what I've seen from Jordan Spieth, and I know I'm in the smaller category here, I think it's going to be, unless he improves off the tee tremendously today, I don't think he's going to be able to hold on. So what are you thinking about all this?
Well, I think it's what we've seen so far is kind of a typical Open Championship leaderboard. You know, you've got some favorites up there, and you've got some guys that probably we don't know all that well that we're searching a little bit to find some information on, like a guy like Richard Bland, who's kind of a career journeyman, is, I guess, is the best way to put it. He's got one tour victory since he turned pro in 1996, that coming on the Challenge Tour. There's a lot of nice surprises. Austin Connolly is one of those as well. But there's enough big names at the top to keep me interested and to catch our attention, and I think it's going to be today will be an interesting day. We're already seeing lots of red numbers on the board. It's calm. There's very little wind. There was a lot of heavy rain overnight, so this course is playing soft, so I expect it'll be a little bit like target practice out there today.
All right, well, let's jump into it. We're going to start with the leaderboard, and let's hit some news and headlines.
News and headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
All right, news and headlines. Here we go. Leaderboard for your Open Championship as we get set for the leaders to take off here in this third round moving day. Jordan Spieth, 6 under par. He has a lead. It's 2 shots right now over Matt Kuchar. So many good themes here. First of all, I'd like Bob. Jordan Spieth has led more rounds in major championship golf in the last 3 years than anybody else. Here he is again on top of a leaderboard through 36. Matt Kuchar, maybe the guy right now. It's hard to say because, you know, Dustin Johnson, Sergio Garcia, Henrik Stenson, et cetera, have all taken their name off that backhanded compliment list of best in the world without a major. Matt Kuchar, near or at the top of that list right now as the guy you're kind of going, maybe what he's achieved in his career and no major, maybe he holds that title right now. Second place on the board in the final group, going off with Jordan Spieth. They'll go 2 back. Then the penultimate group, Ian Poulter at 3 under par, Brooks Koepka, the reigning U.S. Open champion, at 3 under, 21 putts for Brooks Koepka on Thursday. Absolutely incredible opening round of golf. Barely used the putter. Richard Ramsey will then play off with Austin Connolly. Ramsey at 2 under, Connolly at 1 under, and then the following group, Rory McIlroy, who probably should have been out of this golf tournament after the first 6 holes on Thursday, 5 over par, through six holes of golf on Thursday, now finds himself in a tie for six at one under. Big chasers at even, along with Bubba Watson, is also Hideki Matsuyama, someone who has just been so good in majors recently, but has yet to grab the W. Jason Day at one over now in this golf tournament. He's out there already. So lots of big names, Bob. I'll start with this. If the forecast stays calm, like you suggested, I'm not so sure that's good for Jordan Spieth. I think Jordan Spieth's going to probably hit it all over the golf course, whether he plays well or not, and going to make a bunch of 8-9-footers, a bunch of 12-footers. It's kind of what he does best. If it gets really bad and the wind kicks up, I think everyone at that point hits it all over the golf course. But if it stays calm, maybe Jordan's the only one. Do you buy into that? Do you think the worse it gets, the better it plays into Jordan's hands?
There's definitely something to that. I think what we saw yesterday from Jordan Spieth was kind of the vintage, if you can call vintage from a 23-year-old, the vintage Spieth from 2 years ago, where kind of everything went right for him. You know, his bad shots didn't end up too badly. His chipping was really good. He holds a wedge shot when it looks like he drives it in the bunker on 10. Looks like he's gonna hit it out of the into a double bogey at best, perhaps, and holds something out, goes birdie. He misses his shot on 15 on the par 3. He said he hit it off the heel. It rolls up within 12 feet, 15 feet for eagle putt. So, you know, it's those Jordan Spieth kind of things that he's been doing, and he always seems to do that when he was in his heyday of 2 years ago. I keep referring back to his heyday. But I think his make-or-break will probably come off the tee. He said that yesterday. He needs to drive it better. He needs to put more balls in the fairway. He can't rely on getting good breaks and good lies in some of these fairways and first cuts as well, because you kind of roll into a lot of the first cuts, and they're not really all that bad. But that's where he needs to be so far.
Yeah, 35% of his fairways is not going to get it done, that's for sure. But the good news is, like you said, he's still atop the leaderboard, and he's not hitting it the way he wants. I think if he can hit the draw, if he can turn the ball over today with some type of control, he'll be okay. You know me, Bob, for 2 years I've been screaming, why isn't he fixing this losing it right problem under pressure? Let's see how that goes down today. Out of the chasers, you know, Ian Poulter playing with a lot of pressure. You know, he's an Englishman playing in front of his home crowd. This could certainly change the way history looks at Ian Poulter if he's, thinking of adding this title to his career. If he starts thinking like that, it might be too much for him. Brooks Koepka, I got to think, Bob, is playing almost with house money right now, in the sense that, hey, he's got a major under his belt. He won the last one. He can freewheel it. He can, just kind of fire at flag, so to speak. He's got nothing to lose. Do you buy into that? What chaser do you like? Or is there someone further back? Because I'll tell you right now, Rory at one under and Hideki at even, those are the two guys I'm watching to make a move today.
You can almost make a case for anybody on this leaderboard. I think Matt Kuchar is really good. He's had the benefit of the best part of the draw so far in terms of weather. Spieth has had the worst of the draw and played really well, but Kuchar has been in the best of the conditions, if you can call it that, through two rounds. Same thing with Poulter. He's benefited from that as well. Take nothing away from them, because they're both playing pretty well, and even the good conditions yesterday were pretty snarly, so I think they're good. I also like Gary Woodland, who's at one under par. I think he's playing really, really well right now. A couple of little mistakes yesterday, but I love the chances. I love the way he's playing. Looks like he's full of confidence, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him make a nice move today.
It's interesting, too, as well, this Austin Connolly story, because I know we should all be surprised, but when you and I talked about this last week and when he qualified the week before, you know, he hits it so straight. You don't need to be a bomber to play at Royal Birkdale. He seemed to instantly fall in love, so to speak, with Lynx Golf, for lack of a better term, just kind of showing up with very limited experience at the qualifier and playing well there, just getting himself in. And the momentum's carried forward. So here he is, one under par, and I'm not that shocked.
You know, it's having watched him now for 2 days, I'm very impressed with just how confident he looks out in the golf course. Looks like he and seems like he feels like he belongs where he is. He's been hitting a lot of long irons into these greens, 5 irons, 4 irons, 3 irons. But that's what he does most times when he's playing, because he's just not that long off the tee. And he's kind of like the closest thing I could think of was he's kind of like Marlene Street. You know, she's a mighty little dynamo as well. And she used to hit her forward into to some of these greens and stuff. And that's what Austin Conley's doing. I'll tell you, he's also probably one of the quickest players I've ever seen. He doesn't take much time over the ball. He gets his lineup, he hits it, and he pulls the trigger. Our cameraman, Dean Willers, here has been challenged with trying to get his shot focused and ready before he pulls the trigger on a few of these shots. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he puts in a decent round today. It's going to be obviously a little different. He's playing a little bit later in one of the feature groups, although it's not certainly. He looked for a while like he was going to play with Rory, and I think that might have been a little bit tough. But nothing about what I've seen from Conley right now leads me to believe that that he can't be around for Sunday.
Bob, quickly, just before we take our first break, what's the biggest name that you're surprised at going home, missing the cut? For me, you know, I know obviously Phil Mickelson has not played a lot of golf, but Phil hasn't missed a cut this year in 2017 and played quietly well this year. You know, he hasn't won, but very consistent. You know, he left the driver at home, went with the 3-wood, had a lot of strong irons in the bag. He had a 3-iron mocked into a 2-iron and then another 3-iron as well. He seemed prepared for this championship. I'm very surprised he's heading home. Are you as surprised as I am? And is there another name that pops out that you're shocked that he's not there for the weekend?
No, I think he's the biggest name that stands out for me as a guy who I thought might do something. I mean, there's a few other ones in there as well. I mean, I'm a little surprised at Adam Hadwin, although it's only his first go around at Lynx Golf and at the Open Championship. You know, you can make a case for there again in the major is another kind of lackluster performance for Patrick Reed, who you always seem to expect more from, especially after that big Ryder Cup performance last year. I thought he might have a little bit of a more decent performance in the majors again, but he's going home. So I think Phil, though, is the biggest name that we look on the leaderboard, and we're a little bit surprised about that one.
Yeah, certainly. Now, just quickly before we go to break, standings in our Open Championship draft that we had last week, Jamie Rydell is kicking all of our butts, Bob. He is at even par. You are at +7. I am at +9. And Adam Scully, +11. The good news is we actually all made it to the weekend this time. What a surprise. So,
all right, at least we're going to have a winner this time.
We're actually have a winner. On the other side, we're going to hear from some of our leaders. We're going to hear from Austin Connolly, Bob Weeks at Royal Birkdale for the Open Championship, Mark Zucchino live on location at the Skokie Bay Golf and Country Club up here. Beautiful, just over the trail. You got to see my view this morning, Bob. Absolutely stunning. And then at 8:30 this morning, TJ Alderdice is going to jump in with Bob and I for the remainder of the program, the golf director here at Muskoka Bay. You are listening to Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC, an Open Championship edition. Mark Zucchino live at Muskoka Bay Club. Bob Weeks live at Royal Birkdale. Bob, you had an opportunity to speak to Austin Connolly yesterday. Let's start there. A few questions with Austin Connolly. Let's hear his mindset now as he heads into this third round.
I feel very good about it. It was extremely difficult out there. The wind was gusting and chopping and changing, and just nice to get through a day like today, survive, and move on to the weekend.
Considering the conditions, was there a different game plan going into today? Was it a little more conservative?
No, same game plan. Obviously, there's some holes where you have to play a bit more conservative. The course plays much longer with this wind direction. At least for me, it does. There's some bunkers I can't carry. It forced me to stay short of some on some holes. So I feel like I hit a lot of 5 to 3 irons, probably more than half the holes I was hitting more than a 5-iron. So it's just nice to grind through it and, you know, be in the position I am heading into the weekend.
So what do you take on now for the weekend?
Well, I had two goals starting the week. One was to make the cut and one was to rise up the leaderboard in the weekend. And so that's my goal.
And how much would it mean for you to, I mean, how big could this be for you in terms of getting status for next year and things, a good finish here?
Oh, it'd be great. I mean, it'd be so nice to be able to plan my schedule from the start of the year, you know, not have to book plane tickets a week out. But, yeah, you know, I can't really look at it like that. It's just one shot at a time, one stroke at a time. I'm very happy with how with my demeanor out there. I don't feel nervous at all. I'm very comfortable and relaxed. So more than anything, just looking forward to the weekend and looking forward to, you know, being in the position.
Bob, that was going to be my next question. So he says he's not nervous. What's his demeanor been like when you've watched him? Is he cool, calm, collected right now? Is he taking this as a, hey, I've got nothing to lose kind of attitude into this thing?
I mean, yeah, he looks very focused. He looks relaxed. You'd think he was out playing kind of maybe a Saturday morning four ball at his home club or something. He just does not look tense at all. He's obviously full of concentration. As I said before, he doesn't take a lot of time over his shots. I mean, he really is prepared. He knows what he wants to do, and boom, he plays the shot. I've been impressed by his putting. A lot of kind of 6 to 8 footers that just go dead in the heart of the cup. Some of those yesterday, well, actually 2 or 3 of them were for pars, so sort of knee-knock range, but there was no knee-knocking from Austin Connolly when he was standing over those. And as he said in there, you know, he's wearing out the center of those 3 and 4 irons.
Well, if he can keep putting like that, who knows? Now, another gentleman obviously putting great is the guy atop of the leaderboard, Jordan Spieth. But although he's great under pressure and loves the fight, very different demeanor. Jordan Spieth can look jumpy, edgy, very intense, but that's how he's gotten it done in his career. 6 under par, stands atop the leaderboard by 2 over Kuchar. Let's hear from Jordan Spieth.
Probably a dozen times I've had at least a share of the lead in a major championship. You get nervous, and I'll be feeling it this weekend a bit, but I enjoy it, you know, because that's as long as I approach it positively and recognize that this is what you want to feel because you're in the position you want to be in, then the easier it is to hit solid shots and to create solid rounds.
All right, Bob, we're going to hear from Rory McIlroy here momentarily. I am very impressed. Before we hear from Rory, you know, he takes a lot of shots. He took some heat on Twitter from Steve Elkington, who I think went a little too far with his comments in relation to Rory not caring, etc. A guy who doesn't care certainly does not fight back from 5 over par in the first 6 holes of a golf tournament. He buckled down and fought hard to get back into this position. Is that maybe the big story right now outside the Canadiana of Austin Connolly? Is that the big story on the leaderboard right now for you?
It's certainly got to be right up there. I mean, the last 30 holes that Rory McIlroy has played looks like the old Rory McIlroy. And if you watched those first 5 holes and you watched anything after that, you could notice just his body language, how different it was, how he was smiling, he was upright, he was looking ahead, he was holding his head high, he was, you know, engaging with the crowd and with his playing partners and caddies and things. So I think that's a big sign, and you know, happy guy just kind of seems to play happy on the golf course. And I think he realizes that, you know, finally he's been telling us for weeks that he's there, he's almost there, I've got this game, it's so close. And now I think finally he's saying, wow, here it is, it's finally arrived. And after all this time on the range when the shots were looking good, now they're starting to look good on the golf course.
Well, last year we were treated to Mickelson-Stenson on a weekend duel. Maybe this year we get Spieth-McIlroy. That would be something to watch. Let's hear from Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, it's very hard to trust that the wind is actually going to affect the ball as much as it is. I think that's the thing. It's, you have to trust that this wind is, you have to start it over the galleries. You have to start it way left of greens or way right of greens, and just trust that the wind is going to take your ball back to where you want it to go. And that's the hardest thing, because, you know, we don't play in winds this strong very often. And you know, when we do, you know, you have to adjust very quickly. And, you know, thankfully today I did.
Rory, back in position, 1 under par. Should be an exciting weekend for Rory McIlroy, that's for sure. And, you know, if he gets it going, it's maybe the best to watch. Him and Dustin Johnson just seem to be able to find another gear when they have their A-plus game. Now, you had an opportunity to speak to Adam Hadwin, Bob. He did not have the weekend or the week he wanted because he's not there on the weekend. A little bit of a surprise. Let's hear from Adam Hadwin before I get your comments. Here's Adam Hadwin with Bob Weeks.
Well, Adam, can you sum up that round today?
there's probably a few choice words that I can't say on camera right now, but, you know, I actually played pretty solid for 11 holes. It's kind of battling, and then conditions got the best of me, I guess, some wind, and it seemed like we played crosswinds all day, and I just kind of lost a few shots and took a couple extra shots, and they added up quickly.
Well, I played 11 great holes yesterday too, Bob, but a lack of talent got me in the end. That was the big problem. But he seems like he's taking it okay. He seems like, hey, we're all going to have days like that, and that's all this is. Would that be accurate?
I think that's part of it. I think there's also a bit of a deeper side to it, though, and he reflected on that a little bit with me yesterday, and in that, you know, at the start of the year, he was playing so well. He had that 59. He had the win at Valspar, as we know, and it was pretty easy to play that kind of golf, and I think he's been trying to kind of play perfect golf since then, and it's just not going to happen for you, and I think any seasoned professional will tell you, you know, you go through highs and lows in your career on the tour. And he's putting a little bit of pressure on himself to try and perform. So the last week or so, he's been sort of telling himself, look, I just got to relax, go out, have fun. A little bit like what we were saying with Rory, you know, go out, carry your head high, laugh a little bit. But he's got a tough stretch in which to do that. He had this, his first time at the Open Championship. He's got the Canadian Open next week. Then he's got the World Golf Championship event. And then he's got the PGA. So he's got big events out there. And if he can stay relaxed, especially next week will be interesting. He's going to be pulled in so many different ways when he's at Glen Abbey, his first time coming in as kind of maybe the or one of the big name Canadians. I think it's going to be interesting to see what he does with his game, but at least I think he's realizing where the fault is and what he needs to do to correct it. Now he just has to put it into action.
Yeah, playing perfect golf, especially at an Open Championship as well, that's, you know, that's kind of almost impossible. It's ugly golf. Right. It always is, right? And Jordan does it better than probably anybody. That's the top of the leaderboard. It's just he's a mutter, and it's his type of game, and there he is. So TJ Alderdice going to join us next, golf director here at Muskoka Bay, going to jump in with Bob and I. We're going to talk British Open. This is our Open Championship. We're going deep into this show. And, Bob, just a heads up, I think next year where Golf Talk Canada is buying a unit up here, one of these townhomes, or there's a new condo coming. I think we got to move up here for our summer shows. I see no reason for us to ever go back to that studio again once the summer hits. It's just, it's too pretty up here, my friend. I got to tell you. So
I'm all in.
All right. On the other side, DJ Alderdice joins us. We'll jump more into this leaderboard. Maybe go a little deeper here. Who could chase? Who could apply some pressure today? This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada as we get set for the final groups, the leaders going out later this morning and early afternoon here for the third round of the Open Championship. Jordan Spieth with the lead over Matt Kuchar by two shots in that final group. And a bunch of great chasers. Bob Weeks over at Royal Birkdale. Mark Zucchino live at the Muskoka Bay Club. And speaking of the Muskoka Bay Club, jumping in with us now is TJ Alderdice, who is the golf director here at Muskoka Bay. TJ, we were talking off mic, and we were just talking about the swagger on this leaderboard. And you said to me, Kuchar's not going to go away, but man, are there some guys that can just, you know, walk like a peacock here.
Yeah, you mentioned, I think it was Bob who said about Rory's body language, and I think there's a few players, DJ, Koepka when he won the U.S. Open, that strut, that confident. Rory certainly displayed that yesterday, and if that's there, I think he'll be the guy to look at for me this afternoon.
Yeah, I think so too. Bob, is Matt Kuchar the best player in the world without a major? Does he own that title right now, or is Lee Westwood still in that conversation? Because for me, Lee Westwood kind of feels like the window's kind of almost closed for him, with no disrespect to Lee Westwood, but I still feel like, you know, Kuchar is, you know, still a guy that I look for every year to do damage on the tour, and here he is now, two off the lead, 36 to go, never held a major trophy. Is he the guy?
Well, I think you can make that case for, you know, certainly five or six, but he would certainly be up there, and he is such a consistent golfer, and consistency usually does really well in major championships, especially this one. So I kind of like his opportunity right now, where he's put himself after 36 holes. He's got a lot of great swings left in him. He's not, he's a guy who doesn't really get into too much trouble out there. So that again is obviously very good around here. He had some good breaks too, in his second rounds. And I think, you know, that spells like Jordan Spieth did. You need some of those too if you're going to win a championship. So I don't see him, as TJ said, I don't see him going away. I think he'll be around, and whether he's in the final group or not, I think he'll be a factor here come Sunday.
You know, I said to Bob in the opening segment that the worse it gets, the better it is for Jordan Spieth, because that type of golf where everybody's missing and it becomes a game of up and downs, it becomes a game of 12-foot par putts. Today, right now, it's calm. Now, that could change this afternoon. If you don't like the weather in England or Scotland or Ireland, you just wait 15 minutes and usually get a different type of day. But would you agree with me on that? Do you think that that there's some fairness in that statement, that if it gets nasty and everybody starts to miss, that falls into Spieth's hands?
No question. I think you look to those small ball players, those guys, the short game on point. Saw Spieth on camera yesterday, chipping in for par. Short game just so on point that and just so confidently got around there. Gets the ball up and down when he has to. Doesn't give up a shot. Just so gritty.
Yeah.
You look for that gritty type of player for sure.
Grittiness in the major championship is huge. All right, we got some huge names that we've talked about that are close. But if there's low scores out there, that means, you know, like look at what Jason Day is doing today. So, Bob, let's start with you. How far down this leaderboard do you go, or do you look? Now, I know a lot of that depends on what our leaders do in terms of Spieth and Kuchar. But assuming, you know, they don't go too low, assuming they kind of hold the fort, so to speak, playing in the final group of a major, and they don't do what Stenson and Mickelson did last year, how far on this moving day would you go down this leaderboard to say, okay, that's still a realistic shot right now to, you know, get yourself in the mix come Sunday?
I'd probably look at sort of two overish, and if you, you know, if you look at the forecast and you look at the course conditions right now, it's soft. We're seeing a lot of birdies out there. The wind is not going to be a factor, at least in the early going. There may be some showers a little bit later on, but it looks like it's going to be pretty decent weather. As far as British summers are concerned anyway, for the next few days. So I think, you know, a guy like Dustin Johnson, a guy like J.B. Holmes, Ricky Fowler's in there. One of those guys could post a really nice low number, a 66 or a 65, and put themselves within striking distance before Sunday's tee times.
And let's not forget Sergio Garcia as well, also at two over. And again, another guy kind of playing with house money. TJ, do you buy into that? Do you buy into the house money, nothing to lose argument now that the monkey's off Sergio's back and, you know, he's in that two over par group and can kind of go out there and freewheel it today?
I buy that in,
you know,
sorry, Bob. I buy that now that he's removed from the Masters, he's played another U.S. Open. So I think the Masters is far enough behind him where he can recalibrate and get back into major championship mode. And the British Open is an event he's always played well.
His record there is incredible for a guy who's never actually held the trophy.
Yeah.
Like it's awesome. Bob, I haven't seen Sergio since his green jacket victory. The events that I've been at and covered for PGA Tour Radio, he has not been in the field. Has his demeanor changed? Like, is there a different energy about him, especially at a major? Because you remember that kind of dark cloud that would follow him into the media center. And
yeah.
Do you feel like you actually sense a difference with him, feel a difference?
You know what I feel the biggest difference is from the crowd. It's from the well-wishers. It's from the people who are supporting him now, who are maybe kind of teasing him a little before about not being a major champion. You see that all the time whenever, you know, we were walking with him on a few holes this week. And it's all, way to go, Sergio. You know, where's that green jacket? And he wore it to Wimbledon, of course, last week. So, I mean, there's a lot of that. And I think that just buoys you up. He's getting married next week, so that's good. The one thing we should point out, though, is that yesterday, after trying to hit a shot from a gorse bush, he slammed his club against it and may have kind of injured his shoulder. So it doesn't appear to be that anything horribly serious, but it may impact him and how he swings today.
Well, it's funny, too, because he made eagle after that, did he not?
He did.
Yeah, so apparently,
Just don't pick a fight with a gorse bush. That's my lesson.
Well, I was just going to say, I need more gorse in my game, apparently, because you just go
yeah.
and make eagle after that. So, interesting layout here. You know, actually, I bumped into TJ yesterday up here at the clubhouse, and we were talking about the routing of this golf course and the crosswinds and the fact that, you know, traditionally, you know, Chris McKee, who handles a lot and helps us out with social media on Golf.Canada, he was asking me, he's unfamiliar with Lynx golf. He's like, so technically speaking, you know, what's a Lynx golf course? I said to him, well, you know, if I go back and look at, you know, the formal definition of Lynx golf, its original meaning is a seaside land of property with nine holes going out in one direction and then nine holes coming back in another back into the clubhouse. So that's the traditional meaning. Of course, there's a lot more to that with gorse and fescue and the game being played on the ground and certain, you know, certain nuances, obviously, of Lynx golf. But this is not that golf course, guys. This is in a lot of different directions, winding, turning, twisting. It doesn't go out and come back in. And they're dealing with crosswinds all day. Bob, we'll start with you. Is there a wind that the players haven't seen this week? And if they do see that, could it play fits with these guys? Because I've heard some nightmare stories about you get a wind at Royal Birkdale that you haven't seen before, and you're going around in circles out there. DJ talked about it yesterday that he had a horrible time guessing the wind. Is it that impactful, or are these guys overblowing that?
I mean, I think there's two parts to it. One is that, you know, as you said, lots and lots of crosswinds here. So, you know, they've seen yesterday was a tougher of wind, I think, that they faced. It was the more severe. The guys were aiming out 30 yards from their target to try and let the wind bring it back online. And I think the fact that it was just gusting so much, it wasn't any predictable kind of force. So you're guessing a little bit, and you're hoping like heck if you're lining up over the top of the fans at the ball, the wind isn't going to suddenly drop and you're going to be stuck in there somewhere. And that did happen to a number of players sometimes. But it's not going to be too severe here. We're talking less than 10 miles an hour here, I think, for the next 2 days. So it shouldn't be a huge factor. It'll still play a part, I guarantee you, because every Lynx course, as you said, is, you know, there's some wind on it. But it won't be like we saw on Thursday and Friday.
Well, TJ, you know, it's interesting, like what Bob's saying, and I don't know how you feel, and you're quite a good player, accomplished player in Canada as one of our better professionals of the CPGA or Golf Canada, or excuse me, the Professional Golf Association of Canada. And I hate gusting winds. I'd much rather have a steady, this is what it is, and, you know, you can lean on it. It's predictable. It's reliable. It might be difficult, but you know what you're getting. The gusting winds of crosswinds with a confusing routing, I got to think, you know, at the end of the day, I know that, you know, these guys lean on that a lot. Sometimes in the press room, they're looking for a reason why they all shot 74, right? But at the end of the day, I would take rain or steady wind over gusting crosswinds all day long.
Yeah, you take the guesswork out. I think those guys, I always defer to what the players talk about the most, and they talk a lot about the crosswind and getting committed to trusting what the wind is doing and if they have the right direction. And again, I think you look for that experience below the caddies player relationship. I think that played a big part in Lynx golf. And but we'll see if the wind does play a factor, which caddy player combination can make it happen on the weekend.
You know what? You bring up a really interesting point there with the caddy player relationship, because Phil Mickelson on his way home, obviously now with his brother Tim on the bag, first time they've been through an experience like this at a major venue, and it's certainly in an Open Championship. They're on their way home, and look at Jordan Spieth and Michael Greller, maybe one of the best teams out there sitting on top of the leaderboard. So maybe you've touched a point there that we're not considering and how important that might be coming down the last 36 holes. Okay, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to come back. We're going to get Bob's predictions and how he sees this playing out before we say goodbye to Mr. Weeks. And then TJ Alderdice is going to stay with me here, and we're going to talk more Open Championship. And we're also going to get an update here on Muskoka Bay, because there's a beautiful condo being built here that I found out when I got up here. So we're going to figure out how Golf Talk Canada can just kind of like slide into one of those at some point during the next 45 minutes of this show. That's the angle, Bob, I'm taking. How do we just like, you know, but we just put our flag in the ground somehow. So that's where it goes. So Bob,
you go, Mark, you go.
So we'll get your winner and how you see this playing out next, Bob. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. As we start to wind down our national hour, Mark Zucchino live on location in Muskoka Bay, joined by TJ Elderdice, the golf director here at Muskoka Bay. Bob Weeks live from Royal Birkdale as the third round of the Open Championship is on its way. Leaders will get going in a few. Bob, we're going to say goodbye to you for our national hour here, but we need to put you on the record. What do you see happening here? Give us the winner. Give us the chasers. How's this going to unfold, especially considering from Open Championship terms, mild conditions over the next 36 holes?
I like Matt Kuchar right now. I think that he's playing very consistent golf. As I mentioned, I think that's what gets it done out here. I don't see a huge weak part in his game yet through the first two rounds. But I don't want to overlook, if I'm going to see a guy come out of the pack and chase a little bit, I'm looking at Gary Woodland right now. I like the way he's been playing. He seems very solid. It's just tee to green. Everything's working well. The putter is starting to work. Yeah, it was the one sort of weak link for him the last little while. So he may be a guy who puts together a really good round today and shows himself as the guy who's going to challenge for this title come Sunday.
All right, it's Sunday night, though, and you're putting pen to paper, and you're getting ready to write that article. What's the biggest headline for you? And we're going to take Austin Connolly winning this out of the equation, because that would obviously be the biggest headline, especially from a Canadian perspective, of what a shocking, wonderful story that would be. So we'll take Austin out of the mix. What's the biggest headline for you? Is it Jordan Spieth three quarters of a way now to the career Grand Slam at such a young age? Is it Matt Kuchar rips the monkey off his back and continues that trend in the world of golf with another first-time major? Is it Ian Poulter as an Englishman? Is it Brooks Koepka going back-to-back majors? Or is it McIlroy from behind? What is the bigger story? Because those are the themes right now that everybody's got their eyes on.
The headline I see on the story that I have would be Poulter wins, Zucchino goes crazy. I know how much you love Ian Poulter. I think over here, either Poulter or McIlroy, I think Poulter would be a bigger story just because being the Englishman and here we are in England, I think that would be a huge story. I think overall, the bigger story would be either McIlroy or Spieth, and probably Spieth just because, again, as you said, Mark, that puts him three legs deep into the career Grand Slam.
Bob, if it becomes Ian Poulter and Bubba Watson in the final group, I might drown myself in the infinity pool right here at Muskoka Bay. I don't know if I have the stomach for that. So, Bob, thanks for taking the time. I know you've been really busy, the time zone, et cetera, all the differences. So enjoy the last 36 holes, and hopefully if we get anything close to what we got last year, it will be fantastic television over the weekend. So I will see you at Glen Abbey on Tuesday as we shoot our one-hour wrap-up special of the Open Championship and preview to the RBC Canadian Open right from Glen Abbey, and I'll see you Tuesday on the ground. So safe travels and enjoy the rest of the tournament.
The fun never dies. We'll see everybody next week at Glen Abbey.
All right, thanks, Bob. TJ, we're just wrapping up. A couple minutes left here before we say goodbye to our national audience. What is the biggest headline for you with those all wrapped up? What's one for you where possible? Wow, that's a story.
I think the Poulter story is intriguing, you know, the fact that he lost his card and then got it back. And love him or hate him, that's going to be a good story if it plays out. I'd love to see Kuchar do it. I think, you know, we've been dominated with the young guns for the last little bit, and it would be a neat story to get the old guy, you know, he's in his 40s, which...
Yeah, he's, you know, in the new golf world. The door's supposed to be closing, right?
Yeah, so, and if he's going to do it, these are the conditions that look to be the worst of the weather is behind them. They've separated themselves a bit, Spieth and Kuchar, and yeah, it would be a cool story for me to see Kuchar do it.
And if Kuchar does win, it will continue another trend, though. It'll be the eighth major in a row with a first-time winner, and he will join the group of Stenson, Dustin Johnson, Sergio Garcia, and to a certain degree, Jimmy Walker even, of top players in the world without a major. He gets to leave that list. So that'll be interesting to see. We've got 30 more minutes of Golf Talk Canada coming up for Certain markets, including Hamilton, Toronto, a few other select, those listening online, those listening on the iHeartRadio app. We're going to talk a little Muskoka Bay on the other side because there's so much going on here up at Muskoka Bay. Every time I come up, there's more going on. There's a great energy here. I want to talk a little bit about the golf course as well because yours truly got out there yesterday and played hands down the fastest putting surfaces I have been on in several years. It was absolutely spectacular and difficult because of the front hole locations that I want to talk to you about because number four, I had a four-footer, and I had the one coming back was 30 feet off the green. So that was an interesting hole, absolutely spectacular. And I'll give you my predictions for the weekend. We'll get some from TJ as well, who he likes, who he thinks is going to walk away with the trophy, who's going to push, etc. Also, 20 weeks of TaylorMade is continuing. Last week we gave away an Open Championship special staff limited edition golf bag that you've seen the guys carrying around. If you've been watching the broadcast, it's a red and white bag. We gave it away. Rory McIlroy is using it. Dustin Johnson's using it. They're gorgeous bags. We gave it away. This week we're giving away an M1 or M2 driver, your choice, as we give away over $10,000 of product over the entire summer and eventually leading to a VIP golf vacation in PEI for four, as well as you would take your custom set golf clubs from TaylorMade out to PEI. Over 10 grand of TaylorMade product plus the holiday throughout the summer. But the only way you can win is if you participate, and it's really simple. All you got to do is engage with us on social media. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at golf.canada. Download our podcast from iTunes, like us on Facebook, join our Facebook group. If you do all five things, you have five times the chance to win each week, and that's how you get it done. Also, show us your stripes. We're going to give away a pair of Tour 360 Boost this week, and we're doing that monthly, a pair of Adidas footwear as well as a wardrobe at the end of the year for anybody who participates. Send us a pic on Instagram or Twitter with the hashtag Show Us Your Stripes of you decked out in your favorite Adidas gear throughout the summer playing golf at your favorite golf courses, and you will have a chance to win. So 30 more minutes coming up for those of you listening in Hamilton, Toronto, and online. We'll talk Muskoka Bay. We'll talk more Open Championship, TJ Alderdice, and yours truly. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, as Mark Zucchino is live on location at Muskoka Bay Club. We just said goodbye to Mr. Bob Weeks, who joined us for the first hour from Royal Birkdale. TJ Alderdice sitting in with me, the golf director here at Muskoka Bay. We're going to talk some Muskoka Bay. Before we do, TJ. TJ told me that DJ is 3-under through his first five, now even par for the championship. So Dustin Johnson throwing his hat into the ring should be an exciting afternoon. All right, TJ, what's going on here, man? I come up a couple days ago, more construction, lots of activity. The units here are spectacular, by the way, four bedrooms, two bedrooms, etc. But speaking to Kate in the sales center, when I arrived on Wednesday or Thursday, can't recall, she told me this new project of a brand new, she showed me artist renderings of sketches, architectural plans for a 70-unit condominium that will overlook the 18th hole somewhere. Is that accurate?
Correct. Yeah, so I think it's the most exciting info that we've had in a little bit. It's going to change the face of our property. It's that missing component that we don't have yet, that in short time we'll have that. And it'll really finish the resort aspect of what we're doing here.
Now, geographically speaking, where is it on 18? Because I'm trying to imagine where you would build this, a building of such size. Where would it be?
Yeah, it's going to be tucked behind 18T in that area. and a really natural look with wood and mirrors so that you get the reflection of the trees and let it blend into the natural surroundings. So 5 stories high, that's approximately 70 units. It's going to be a really, really
awesome. Cool. So you can stare down the 18th fairway, et cetera, from some of those units from one side of the building.
Golf course now for multiple properties, which is unique.
Now, Peter Fried, who's the gentleman behind Fried Construction and the Fried Classic, which I've been up for many years here, he has a unit going in that's supposed to be spectacular. I'm thinking we can make it the Golf Talk Canada unit when he's not using it, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, we'll talk to Peter about that. Free up the infinity pool at the top level.
Now, you have a Pro-Am coming up this week, which I'm unfortunately not going to be able to be a part of because it's RBC Canadian Open Week, but I was dying to play it. But after my go-around yesterday and the way these greens are rocking, I'm not so sure that I didn't make the wrong decision to go to work because I was stick handling out there, so tough, so difficult. What makes it, and obviously, you guys probably, I would suggest, from a coast-to-coast standpoint, especially a golf course that offers resort play, there isn't a golf course that even touches this place on conditioning. What is it?
Yeah, I think consistently it is, you're right, we're always in great condition. I have to attribute Chris Goodman and the work he does with his team. I think we're fortunate to have Chris. He's been with us since the grow-in, so he's 11 or 12 years on this property. I just think he has a great understanding of this property. He knows the challenges because of where we are in Muskoka. It's unique. And he has this place dialed in year after year, and testament to him for sure.
And I notice more community every time I come up in terms of membership. The membership's getting bigger, more active. They seem to be very engaged.
Club life has never been better at Muskoka Bay. We're doing member functions that are so well attended. The vibe is great. We did a nice event. We had one of our members play some live music. He travels the world playing music. He played for our membership on the patio. We had a beautiful summer evening, which we haven't had enough of those yet this summer.
But rough year for that.
We nailed it with the weather that day, and just club life up here has never been better.
Lots of real estate opportunities, lots of membership opportunities, lots of stay and play like I'm doing. And my guests here with me this week are having an unbelievable time. They absolutely love it. We've got to do an event, one step off the back, all red pins, 18 red pins. You and I talked about this yesterday. The competitive course record here is 70 by David Hearn.
That's right.
Yesterday, fourth hole, par four, one of the signature holes on the property, slightly downhill. 300 yards, little downwind. I decided to take a rip at the green, hit it hole high, caught the mounding to the left and went into the bunker, flipped up a sand wedge to 4 feet, slightly above the hole, caught the left top edge of that cup, and had 30 feet coming back from off the green. It was absolutely great. The red hole locations here, if we go one off the back and red, I guarantee you, if you bring a great group of professionals, even par would win by a landslide.
Yeah, we'll need to put white towels in the cart. I would love an event like that. You know, it's such a strong test here. It'd be fun. David Hearn still holds the course record, like you mentioned. I'd love to see it updated. I think I'd challenge any club professional or touring professional to try to get this into the 60s. Would be pretty neat.
So, you know, it's interesting you say that because, you know, 70, obviously not a crazy low number for a course record. But the one thing I will say about this property is that, you know, I played yesterday with a bunch of great players. I played yesterday with a bunch of 18, 21, 22, 25 handicaps. And sometimes when you take that type of golfer to a venue that is as challenging as this one, regardless of how beautiful it is, they tend to walk off and they don't like it. It's too much of a brutal time for them over a four-hour run. I never heard one thing yesterday from my group. They all love it still, and that's a unique aspect of a golf course. It's very hard to do. I don't know exactly what the formula is. It's a bunch of things. It's conditioning. It's beauty. It's options of tee decks, playing the right tee deck. There's things like that, and it's a pretty special recipe to be able to do it, but this place certainly has done that.
Yeah, it challenges all skill levels. It's playable from the correct set of tees. So we have so many tee options. I think our level of service adds the enjoyment. Like we take great care of our guests and our members here every day when they come and play. That certainly adds to the experience. And we're all about providing a golfer experience that's unmatched. And You get that on the golf course. You get that off the golf course. So it's a special spot. No question.
Well, I can't wait to get back out there this afternoon and give her another go. There is certainly room to improve. Now, TJ, I want to throw something at you because obviously this year, a bit of a revolving door when it comes to winners on the PGA Tour, certainly in majors. We've talked about how the last seven majors have been first-timers. And I don't believe that we had a poll about 3 months ago on Golf Talk Canada, a Twitter poll. We had a lot of people engage, hundreds and hundreds of votes on it. And the question was simple. It was, what gets you more interested or engaged with golf on television? A dominant player, i.e. Tiger Woods. B, a big three or four, a group of great players that create rivalries. Maybe like we were going to have, say, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where it looked like we were going to have an honest big three, big four. Or C, carte blanche. Anything can go. Anyone can win. Revolving door like we're having in, say, the last 12 months. And C was the lowest on the totem pole. B was actually the strongest. So even though people miss Tiger and miss those dominant performances from Tiger, I think people are dying to see a true, you know, Arnie, Jack, Gary Player type of scenario, or even widen it to four or five guys. How do you feel about that as a guy who works in the game, loves the game, gets engaged with the game? I know you're like me. You'll watch golf regardless because you love it. But out of those three, what do you think is the best for the sport?
Yeah, I think when we tuned in to watch Tiger play, we knew the outcome. We were just watching history. With the big three, big four, I think everybody's just appreciating the caliber of golf being played. So when you say there's three, there's four, there's five of those guys on any given week can throw that caliber of golf, good golf's just fun to watch. So I think option C, that's my least favorite.
Me
no
too.
Question. I want to see just the standard of golf keep rising. Tiger was very cool, and that was a run. And like I said, I would tune in just to say I will remember what I did and what I saw
right.
Tiger do. Now we tune in because it's less predictable. We've got great caliber of golf, young gun, just excited. I think it's as exciting as it's ever been. I mean, I can't speak to the olden days, but for me, tuning in to watch this pool of players, and now you've got some fringe players knocking on the door that want to get into that select group, golf's in great shape.
So my angle on this is very similar to you. I'd like to see four or five guys or six guys really kind of separate themselves a bit. Would be nice to see so we can get some rivalries, but when we talk about the best players in the world, I believe that when they all have their A-plus game, that Rory is the best. That's my theory. Now, DJ, I think, is pretty close. However, if we're talking about their worst game, I think Spieth is the best. So I will take Jordan Spieth's C game over the rest of theirs, but I'll take Rory's A-plus game over all of them. Where do you sit on this, and how do you fall in the ladder in the equation here? Or is there a name I'm missing, like a Jason Day, who, you know, for a short period of time showed us some pretty miraculous play?
Yeah, I think those power players, when they have the ability to put the gas pedal down and they wedge it close and then they make their share of putts, they look unbeatable. But the scrappiness of Spieth and how consistently he can do it, you know, it's just... Spieth is hard to overlook, and he's just that. It's less impressive, but at the end of the day, the impressive aspect is the result.
Right.
So
making 12 footers.
Yeah. For me, as a golfer, I don't have the gas pedal power overpower the golf course, so I'm always enamored by watching those guys do something that I don't have. Flying at 350.
Crazy.
Taking corners and lines that no one even looks at. So that to me is exciting and fun to watch. Spieth's results, though. You can't deny it.
You can't argue with those. All right, so we're going to take our final break here. We're going to come back. We're going to go back to the Open with TJ's final thoughts, his winner, who he likes to push today, who he sees pushing over the next 36 holes, and who he likes holding Clara Jug at the final outcome. I will do the same. We're also going to welcome in next segment Adam Scully for a little Scully time. Scully, again, sitting fourth. Mama Scully, we need to talk to Mama Scully, too, because I know her and her son, Adam, they get together before the Golf Talk Canada drafts. They collectively put the brain trust together of the Scully family, and we're now again at the back of the bus, Adam. You're fourth place heading into the weekend again, so we might need a reshuffling. You might have to bring in some distant cousins and stuff before the next draft. We'll talk about that in the other segment. So Scully time, TJ Alderheis, yours truly, as we wrap up today's show and give you our final thoughts on the Open Championship. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Speaking of Muskoka Bay, live, stay, and play, I may not leave. That's where I am right now, broadcasting live from the patio here, looking over the infinity pool with the golf director, TJ Alderheis. A horrible place to have to come to work, TJ. Dustin Johnson has made another birdie, now one under par on the tournament. He is through his first six or seven holes. I'm trying to find him here on this leaderboard. TJ through seven on his third round, one under par. So we're also going to welcome in Adam Scully for our final. Scully, you with me?
Oh, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you.
So, Scull, you know, you and Mama Scully, we need to, like, have a regroup, bring in some cousins on the next draft.
Yeah.
Now, you're still in this. You made it to the weekend.
Thank God.
You're only two shots behind me and only four shots behind Bob. But Jamie Rydell is kicking our butt. So I want to go to TJ here for his thoughts on who's going to chase and who's going to walk away with the trophy, but I'd like to get your thoughts because we haven't had a chance to speak. What do you think of this leaderboard, the tournament so far, and how do you see this thing shaping out? Are the big names going to, you know, give us a treat and maybe get this golf world back in order, have it realigned with a Spieth or Rory victory, or do you see something else coming here?
Well, it certainly looks like that the big names, especially today, are really stepping up once now that the conditions are pretty calm and tame out there. You know, Jason Day has already posted a 65. As you said, Dustin Johnson, four under through seven. He got a pretty fortunate break on the fifth hole, the par four, going for it. He hit the grandstand. He was going way left, hit the grandstand, bounced all the way across onto the green, and two-putt for birdie there. So he's getting the breaks. Obviously, Jordan Spieth in the worst of the conditions yesterday was just remarkable to watch. And even a guy like Brooks Koepka, who had some unbelievable up and downs, hitting it absolutely sideways at times. So I wouldn't be surprised if, yes, there is definitely a top name comes through. I'm really curious to see how Rory's going to keep the momentum going, because he had the excellent front nine yesterday and salvaged some great pars yesterday early on the front nine, or sorry, on the back nine. So he's a guy I'm certainly watching. And as Bob said as well, Gary Woodland, he's another guy that I'd be curious to see how he does today too.
See, I think Rory's going to make a push, but that's an obvious one. But I think the guy I spoke about last week, who I drafted in our on air, is Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah.
TJ, I know you think that Hideki Tej is also going to make a push today. He plays majors well, and slower green speeds are good things for Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah, and I think he stumbled a bit through the toughest of weather yesterday, and still in at even par for the championship. Yet to tee it today, I look to him to make a charge for sure. His ball striking, iron play, second to none, controlling his flight. So I think that'll serve him well. Make some putts, you're right.
And it's interesting because, you know, low scores are out there. You know, Scully just outlined some of the guys going low. We've talked about some of the guys go low. But it's different to go low starting five, six, seven shots back.
Mm-hmm.
It's way harder to take advantage of those conditions if you're the lead horse in the race, if you're in that final group, or even to a certain degree the penultimate group, but certainly the final pairing. So calm conditions translating into birdies for the field does not necessarily mean it's going to translate into birdies for the guys in the last pair today.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing about the calm conditions here, early on the broadcast this morning, Jim Bones Mackay said to Dan Hicks, don't tell Johnny this, but there's a 62 out there today. And Brandon Grace is 6 under through 14 and is now 2 under for the championship. So he just needs two more birdies coming in. And that's 62.
Two par fives, I think, left.
And yeah, two par fives.
Two par fives. Well, it's good that Bone said that. The only problem is if we get a 62, we got to listen to Johnny Miller for the next 6 months on all social media platforms and then NBC talk about how his 63 was the greatest round of golf ever. And, oh, my God, Johnny, just, you know, put a hole in it. Please, someone stuff something in that pie hole. I can't listen to that anymore. All right, Scully, I want to get your predictions here. We only have about 5 minutes left in today's show, so I want to know who is going to push. Who is going to vault up the leaderboard today, and who is going to hold the claret jug? Give me those two.
Well, looking at this now, I mean, seeing Dustin Johnson now 4-under through 8, I wouldn't be surprised if he posts, let's say a 5-under round today, so gets to 2-under and is somewhat in contention. It's tough to bet against Jordan Spieth right now. He only hit 5 fairways in that first round, and he still managed to shoot 65. He's making putts. He's making some really odd pars, or some clutch pars, I should say. But as Bob said as well, Matt Kuchar is just so steady. But in past majors, he's had some issues on the weekend. One guy I will be definitely curious to see today, Ian Poulter in the calm conditions. How is he going to live up to this pressure? But to go back to your previous question, I say Jordan Spieth is going to get the third leg of the Grand Slam. And a pairing that I'm watching today to make a push, depending on the health of Sergio Garcia, is Ricky Fowler and Sergio Garcia playing together. They're good buddies. Maybe they can feed off each other and both post a good number.
I think you're right there. I think that's going to be a fun pair. And if they get it going early, look out. They'll jump on a roller coaster together and vault up this leaderboard. All right, DJ, who's the guy that makes the big push? Obviously, DJ already starting it, but is there another name that's going to vault up this leaderboard and get into this thing? And who's your eventual winner?
You know, you're starting to see the big names surface, which is exciting. I think it just all depends on what Spieth does. We've seen him run away and hide. He's fully capable of doing that, especially putting the way he is. Matt Kuchar's so steady, but steady doesn't get it done if Spieth runs away with it. So the steady game of Kuchar Poulter could hang in there if the conditions warrant that. But if Spieth can run and hide, he'll be tough to catch. McIlroy. Love to see him chase and put the heat. More than anything, I just want to see two big guns go at it again.
On Sunday again. I got to tell you guys, I don't want to be the downer, Debbie Downer on this one, because I would love to see Jordan Spieth win. I think it would be great for golf. I think, you know, to have a guy at this age, 23 years old, and to add the third leg of the career Grand Slam at 23, is just, you know, he's going to put himself in a different category if he keeps knocking off majors like this. However, with the calm conditions and the low scoring available on the golf course, his ball striking is going to need to be better. It is not going to be a putting expedition or who can get up and down from 50 yards the most. If the weather got bad, I think Jordan Spieth would walk away with this championship. I think he could, as TJ suggested, run away and hide. Because if the weather's horrible, let's be honest, everybody's going to hit, you know, 7-8 greens. No one's going to go out and hit 14 greens, 15 greens, 13 greens. But today they are. Today they're going to go out and they're going to have a ton of looks to go low. And there's low scores out there. Mm-hmm. So I'm not so sure Jordan Spieth's ball striking right now, guys, is at that level. He hasn't shown that to me yet. He also hasn't shown me that under pressure, he's not going to miss it right. He won the Travelers Championship a few weeks ago. He hit it right all day and barely avoided hazard after hazard. And then when he needed to hit it in the fairway on 18 and then eventually in the playoffs, he band-aided it and hit it dead left off a tree because he knows he's going to lose it right. And I don't know how you play golf at this level for this long, for 2 years now fighting this, and you haven't figured something out. I don't know. But I hope Jordan Spieth wins. But I don't think the ball striking's there. I think the calm conditions are going to hurt him. I think the calm conditions are going to hurt Ian Poulter, who hits it like a 4 handicap but has the guts of a plus 6. I think it's going to be somebody from the rear. I think it's a ball striker. If Rory gets through Saturday, look out. If he gets through today, look out. So I'm going to say Rory McIlroy edges out somebody to win this thing come Sunday. I think Hideki's going to put his name in the mix today. Look out for him. But I do not believe that anybody right now in the final group or the penultimate group, so anybody currently at 3-under par or better, I do not believe is going to win this championship. There you go.
Wow.
We're going to go out on that, Skull. Wow. I will see you Tuesday, my friend, for Golf Talk Canada Television.
Can't wait.
Time, buddy.
Thank you.
Peace. DJ, thank you for doing this. Thanks for having me up here. Just a spectacular place to spend time. One of the best golf courses in the country. Service, resort, you got it all. We're having a blast, and thanks so much for your hospitality and jumping on the show today.
Our pleasure to host. It's always fun for me to take part in the show, Mark. Thank you.
And thanks for supporting Golf Talk Canada. You guys have been with us from day one, practically. So always a great relationship, and always fun to do business with people you like and a place you love. It makes it so much easier to be an ambassador of the product when you love it as much as you do. So thank you for that. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, 20 weeks of TaylorMade continuing. Show us your stripes continuing throughout the summer. This week, Golf Talk Canada Television, one-hour specials. We wrap up the Open Championship and preview the RBC Canadian Open right from Glen Abbey. Bob Weeks and I on location. And I'm sure a few special surprises with some players that will join us for our one-hour special. Enjoy the Open Championship on TSN all weekend, your home for major championship golf. And remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet. Thank you for listening.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca.